Hey, you want that to go?
Now some quick takeouts on stories we're following all this week. It looks like we're talking healthcare again on Capitol Hill. Todd Zwillick is still out, so we're back to our friend Julie Mason, the White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Celeste.
So it looks like Max Baucus is very confident that he's going to get all the Democrats on board for healthcare reform, and now he's going to somebody else to try and pass, get them convinced of his overhaul bill. Who is he going to now?
Well, the Democrats are making some overtures to unions and doctors. Celeste, as we've talked about this week, labor was not happy with the Senate Finance Committee.
Right, they wanted a public option.
Right, and they're worried that reform could tax members' benefit plans. And doctors, meanwhile, are worried that Medicare savings to pay for health care reform could cut their reimbursements. So these are two constituencies the Democrats want on board.
Well, those are both relatively good fears, right? I mean, there's a
yeah.
chance that the unions who have good health care plans will get taxed and that doctors will see cuts in payments as it stands right now.
Exactly. But next week, the Senate is going to debate a bill that would block Medicare from reducing payments to doctors. It's very controversial. It would cost about $240 billion. It's unfunded, but it's a top priority of the American Medical Association, and Harry Reid has put it on a fast track.
And that would put the bill over President Obama's $900 billion price tag, right?
Right. They'd have to figure out a way to pay for it. Budget cuts, tax increases, something unpleasant.
All right.
But labor's never going to vote against health care reform, are they? Under any
well,
circumstances,
they really, they
right?
don't like the way the bill looks right now, and that's one constituency the Democrats can't lose next year.
That's true.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. Julie Mason, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner.
Your next takeout comes from sports takeaway contributor, correspondent Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Boy, it was not the artful Dodgers last night in L.A. What happened in the playoffs last night?
Well, we talked about yesterday a little bit about the Dodgers' ability to stop them in the waning innings. And the one thing I didn't mention was that the Dodgers have three players that literally run that have gotten more than 20 stolen bases over the year.
Right.
So they have a lot of speed and a lot of power. But last night, what you saw was the Phillies' power, and that's how they won 8-6 and surprised the Dodgers in L.A. Tomorrow, what you have coming up, which should be really interesting, is Pedro Martinez is coming back to the place where he played baseball for the first time.
With tons of postseason experience with a lot of teams, Pedro Martinez.
Correct. And now he's going to be pitching in a warm, comfortable, happy L.A. environment as opposed to the cold and frigid Northeast where the Phillies will come back to.
One last bit before we leave the National League. It wasn't about pitching at all last night, right?
It wasn't about pitching, and that's a good point. It was about when hitting at the right time is really what
right.
it was about. In the three-run homer, the Phillies also were the second-best team. They had the fewest errors in the league this year in the National League. And last night they had one error. So if you had came into the game saying that they have one error and they would win, then you would have been crazy.
Right.
That completely surprised me.
And the Phillies are the defending champs, trying to repeat the championship in the World Series. Now, weather is going to be a factor, as you alluded to a moment ago, at the game that is scheduled for tonight, weather permitting, between the LA Angels and the New York Yankees.
And that game, every game is going to probably feel like it's around 30 degrees, 39 degrees, and it's going to be chilly and rainy. And you definitely wonder, are the players really? They always talk big game about, oh, yeah, we can handle it. And it's true. If they can't handle it, they're a bunch of wimps. This is playoff baseball. They have to suck it up and take care of business.
But it's not simply about the weather. The Yankees really have an angel's curse on their backs that this series is all about them actually getting off their backs.
So I totally agree. And I also think the Yankees in previous years, in the past three times that they've made it to the playoffs, have actually had a weather curse as well. They've played very poorly in cold weather.
Right.
Particularly Alex Rodriguez. That was a lot of folks were thinking that was the reason why. And then the little backstory to this is that the Major League Baseball is beholden sort of to TBS and Fox
right.
and sort of for the scheduling
so
of
the
these
scheduling
games.
Is all about working around the football games on the weekend, which adds days, which is maybe good for the pitching, but it keeps people's rhythm sort of in a bad place.
But the Yankees have a veteran roster, and it might work to their favor because they get a couple extra days off.
All right, we're going to go to college football, but the amazing stat to me is that the Yankees do better against the Angels when they're playing away, not when they're playing home. So
that's
a real interesting thing tonight. Okay, college football this weekend. What's going on? The big matchups.
So the biggest matchup and the only thing I really want to talk about is USC versus Notre Dame. And I think this is a big deal is because they're both ranked teams. USC is number 6 in the country. Notre Dame is number 25. But what this means for USC has to win. For them to stay in the hunt, they have to win. And the same thing for Notre Dame. For Notre Dame to be considered a relevant team anymore and for Charlie Weiss to keep his job, this is why it's an interesting game to watch.
But I don't know. Notre Dame fighting for its relevance seems to me to be a little bit of a fine print.
Like, it was more Charlie Weiss fighting for his job.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
All right, and finally, you always have to say something about Rhode Island, right?
I love Rhode Island. But more importantly, I want to say something about everyone out there to remember their homecoming. Remember the bonfire. Remember the dances. Remember wearing the jersey in the high school hallways. And then think about your college alumni as well. This weekend, I'm going back to the University of Rhode Island to go to homecoming. But I more so wanted to kick this back to the listeners and say, remember your alumni. Remember where you came from. And just think about your school. Maybe check the standings tomorrow to see, or Saturday and Sunday morning to see how they did. And check in with your family. How was homecoming this year? How's your high school team doing?
It's not like college football is a big deal in your life at all, right?
Well, not in New York anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Ibrahim.
Hey, thank you.
Ibrahim
good morning.
Abdul-Mateen, sports contributor.
Sorry about that, John.
Our last takeout
comes from you. You've been talking to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us your emails at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Also, Facebooking us. Yesterday, with President Obama's visit to New Orleans, we asked what you would tell the president about your own city, what you'd want him to fix in your hometown.
The president came to South Carolina. He can fix these crooked banks that charge overdraft fees by deception. I wish he'll come and get them straight.
And Kathy in Michigan wants to add something to his to-do list.
I would like for the president, if he came to my city, to fix the unemployment rate. Since he has come into office, I was hoping that things would be for the better, and it has actually gone down. My husband worked in the auto industry and has since lost his job.
Interesting. People losing hope there. Tyrone called 877-8-MY-TAKE with some subtle humor.
If Barack Obama came to Baltimore, I would definitely say we need not only jobs, but a total revamping of the board of houses that we have here. We have a lot of folks who don't have houses, and we have a lot of neighborhoods that are pretty much full of boarded up houses and almost blighted.
All right, lots to fix there in Baltimore. Norris took our question literally, though. He wrote this on our Facebook fan page, and here's the subtle humor. I think it would be fun to replace the ceiling fan in my living room using the President of the U.S. It'd make for a neat story to tell. On the other hand, if you meant what kinds of requests I would like him to make, Oklahoma City needs some serious audits for political fraud and embezzlement.
Yesterday, we also talked about finding ways to get more women and minorities into the tech field because, no offense, John, but it's filled with nerdy white guys.
And
Francis,
what does that have to do with me? Nothing.
Frances in Boston says, now that she's a grown woman with plenty of high-tech experience and unpropelled, she's no longer intimidated by science, but the prospect of working in a field dominated by women intimidates her even more. Great stories, great personal takes on
always
the news,
great.
And we always want to hear more of them at mytakeatthetakeaway.org, or you can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.